Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2. I'm going to have you remain seated at the beginning. I don't want everyone to have to stand up for half an hour. We're going to read a few verses and then I will stand up. Have you stand up. Pastor Kowak, not only was that a great song Christian-wise, that's a great musical piece. What's that piece? It's Jupiter, isn't it? From Holst. I thought so. Wow, that's one of my favorite 3 minutes ever in music in history. So if you want to listen to it, I turn it up loud. It's Jupiter, the planets, from Holst, and it starts about 3 minutes into the song because I've only listened to it about 1,000 times. All right, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Thank you, Kayla, and we're hoping you come back this way because somebody needs to keep her in line. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, please. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. As I said last week, I'll say again today, modern versions translate this registered. They are correct. But it doesn't help you because they were registered to be taxed. That's the point. And that this taxing was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, the house of bread. Bethlehem, the house of bread, which he was, because he was of the lineage, house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You say, why was there no room for them? Because all of the people that were from that area were taxed wherever their roots were. So for all of my Filipinos, you understand it immediately. You might live in Manila, you might be in America, but where were your forefathers from, the provinces? You went home and it filled up just like this. So there was just simply too many people in the city. So they had to find a place, probably in an outlying building, a manger. So we continue. Verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. By the way, just a normal night to them so far. And lo, or behold, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the King James says they were sore afraid. I would tell you this, there's not a passage in all the Bible that has the word fear. The word fear's in the verse twice, plus the word mega. This means they were scared to death. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be not just to you, but to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, well, of course, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, when they'd seen this event and the baby, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered, marveled, were shocked at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, would you stand with me, please? We'll read the text I'm going to speak on. Friends, my sermon title this morning is The Crux of the Message. The crux of the message is, look at me please, is a pivot. These shepherds, Mary, Joseph, just experienced the greatest miracle. By the way, I don't want to belittle you or me. You and I will never receive a miracle like this, ever. This is one of a kind. This is the great miracle. Outside of the resurrection, creation, crossing the Red Sea, this is one of the big ones. Now my real question becomes, now what? You have just experienced the greatest experience. By the way, she's never going to experience that great of an experience again. What do you do then? My sermon title this morning is 8 days later and 12 years later. I'm going to tie two stories together. 8 days later, 12 years later. So what do you do after your miracle? What do you do after the best thing that's ever happened to you? It's a good question. All right, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called, and we say in modern English, Jesus, Jesus, you know, whatever. It's just a translation of the word, which was so named of or by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So basically, after 8 days, there was a process they were going to go through. Naming, circumcising. Verse 22, and when the days of her, Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, was accomplished, they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves are 2 young pigeons. If you will look with me, I will only talk about this in broad reference to chapter 2, verse 41. There is a rather large gap between verse 38, which talks about, you have Simeon and you have Anna, and then you have somewhat of a large gap of 12 years. Verse 40 just basically says the child grew. That's what children do. They eat, they grow. Verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem. What does it say? Why would they go there every year? Because the Bible commanded them to go there every year. They went there every year at the feast of the Passover. Passover, by the way, in the Jewish world, they have more or less 2 New Years. One of them is March, April, which is Passover. That's kind of one. Then they have the one in the fall called Rosh Hashanah, the new year, the head of the new year, head of the year. They kind of celebrate both. In the biblical world, Passover seemed to be more important. In modern world, Rosh Hashanah seems to be more important. But the point being is they went up to Jerusalem. So in verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. So my sermon this morning is going to be very simple. You have just experienced the greatest thing that is ever going to happen to you your entire life. Look at me. What do you do next? And my friend, the answer to that question, 8 days later and 12 years later, you're going to see with Mary and Joseph exactly how a Christian life is lived out in its simplicity and its beauty, or you're going to be looking for your next miracle. Hey, you're going to be looking for your next woo! And there are Christians that spend their lifetime looking for their next wah! But the problem is 8 days comes, 12 years comes. That's where life is lived. That's what I want to talk about. 8 days later or 12 years later. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this beautiful text. Of course, it gives any Christian joy just to read it. How would it not? It is the center of the Christian faith. with no Son of God, no Messiah coming, a Messiah cannot die. And with no death, no burial, no resurrection, we are without hope. But this is the central story. We're looking this morning, Lord, more at the new year. What do we do 8 days later? The miracle has happened. What's Mary going to do next? Look for another miracle? Look for another surprise? Look for something new or what? Help us this morning as we look at this simple, beautiful text. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. She was bored again. In fact, she was always bored. In fact, every time you saw her, the first thought that came to your mind, and frankly that would come out of her mouth, is, I'm bored. She was always bored. And worse than being bored, she was also depressed. I don't mean depressed in the sense of suicidal depressed or clinically depressed. I mean depressed in the sense of not interested, dragging, just, we would might say, blue, just blah. Not interested, frankly, not interesting. But later that year, and by the way, this happened to me, I'm trying to think back in the early 80s, so it's been a couple weeks. I remember later that year, she came to the hospital where I worked, she worked with me broadly, and for the first time, it was like this. And you're like, oh my goodness, what happened? She was going on vacation. And for the next 3 weeks, every time when you saw her, we're going on vacation. Okay. Nothing wrong with vacation. That's nice. Finally, she went on vacation, and we missed her for 2 weeks. And when she came back from vacation, she came back so excited, and it lasted at least a week. And then she was bored, depressed, unhappy, blue, blah, blasé, blah. And as a young man, I said to her, if you could only live on vacation, you'd be happy. Look me in the eyes. Do you know there's people that I know that if they could live on vacation, they would, well, they couldn't, because if you live on vacation, that becomes the normal and you're back to the what? Friends, we are in a dilemma because you have read the greatest story. And by the way, as a young lady, Mary's never going to have a miracle at that level. No one is. You say nothing is going to peak that. Nothing is going to over. So then what do you do after that? And to me, when I read the story again last month or so, it started to dawn on me. You see how the Christian life, or she was not, that's anachronistic. She was a believing Jew, believing in the Messiah. She just happened to be the one that bore the baby. How do you live your life 8 days later? 12 years later? Well, let's look at that, could we? If you would, please, look back at the text and start looking at verse 21. Would you please? Look at verse 21. I want you to get the 8 days, because we're just 8 days after the greatest miracle that Mary or anybody is ever going to experience. What was she doing? It says, when the 8 days were accomplished, by the way, there's always afterwards for the circumcision of the child. His name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, it took a few more days for that, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that hath openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. She said, what do you do 8 days later? Please look at me. This is simple. 8 days later, I don't care what you do. Listen, I have been on some great vacations. I want you to go on vacation. But if you think vacation is going to make you happy, because 8 days later comes, and I'm not even referring to that. How do we live this life? We have experienced unbelievable greatness. Okay, what do you do then? Look for it again? Try to have it again? Try to recreate that experience so I can be excited? Well, we find from this text the first idea. 8 days later, we see Mary and Joseph, number one, I call it this, a life lived according to the Scripture. How about this? A life lived in obedience to the Scripture. So you've had your miracle. You've had, whoa, I got a bonus, whoa. By the way, all of that stuff disappears very quickly. Then it comes down to a life lived in obedience to Scripture. I have to live my life. I have this thing. I know some of you have heard of it. It's called the Bible. I don't care if you have it hard, you know, leather bound, hard bound on your phone. I read on my phone almost always. I don't care about that, but you have the Word of God. And here you have Mary and Joseph living their life. It was a life lived in obedience to Scripture or according to the Scripture. How do I know that? All right, everybody look at me. Four events happened after 8 days. Four. Got it? Number one, circumcision of the boy. Number two, the day he was circumcised, he was also named. Number three, purification of Mary. That was an Old Testament feature. We'll look at verses in a moment. So you have circumcision, naming of the child, purification, and then the child is brought to Jerusalem to present the child to the Lord. Circumcision, naming, purification, and presentation to the Lord. Those four events happened. Why'd they happen? Because, look at me, that's what a believing Jewish person would do. You believe the Bible, you obey the Bible says do this, you do this. By the way, we're not Jewish, we live in the church age, we're not under that era, we have things we simply do. By the way, you know, lots of stuff I do. Why? Because the Bible teaches it. So, let's look at those things. You have your Bible with you? Look back at verse 21. The first one was circumcision. I'm not going to go to the Old Testament. What I want you to see is the text, if you don't mind. Verse 21. This is 8 days later, and we'll see a little bit later, 12 years later. And when 8 days were accomplished, for the what? She didn't go back, I got to have another miracle. I got to have God bail me out. I got to have, destiny and miracle and living in the miraculous. No, she goes back to obeying the Scripture. And the first thing a Jewish believer would do was circumcise their male child 8 days later. And on that day of circumcision, you also named the child. We'll come to that in a moment. So it says, the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child. His name was called what? Jesus. Why was his name called Jesus? Which was so named of the angel or by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. If you have a Bible, turn your Bible, hold your hand here. We're going to come right back here and go to verse 59 of chapter 1. Chapter 1. We have already seen this with a guy by the name of John the Baptist. John the Baptist. John the Baptist, in Luke 1:51, it's now time for his circumcision. 8 days later, it says, and it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called his name Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, oh no, not so, because she had known his name shall be called John. I'm not going to read that. My point is, look at me. What did a believing Jewish person do? You have a baby child in the Jewish world, in the Jewish economy of the Old Testament. What did a Jewish believer do? They obeyed. Look at me. They obeyed the Scripture. They didn't look for a miracle. They didn't look for God to give me, No, God had already done many unbelievable things. Now it's time to get on to living a life in obedience to Scripture. The Scripture teaches we take the male child, we have the male child circumcised, we name the male child. Let's go back to Luke 2. That's not all you see. By the way, friends, you see it three or four times in the one text. So in verse 21, they're obeying the angel's message from God. Verse 22, and when the days of her purification, remember, circumcision, naming, purification, according to the law of Moses, they're simply obeying the Bible. For a Jewish believer in that age, where in the church age there are differences, but in that time, circumcision, naming the child, after a certain more days, purification of Mary, and then it says they brought him, after that period of time, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord. There's a simplicity. Why do you do what you do? Please look at me, friend. Long time ago, I gave up on making people happy. Bored people, unhappy people, are bored and unhappy. The only thing that will get you out of your boredom and your unhappiness is simply saying, I have a life to live under God. Yes, in the life as I move along, sometimes I have great experiences, answers to prayer, seeing God do the miraculous. I also have things that aren't so pleasant too. That's part of life too. And then I have a lot of just normal days. And my life is not going to be lived looking for the next miracle. No, my life is going to be lived in obedience to Scripture. The Scripture says you circumcise the child. Guess what we do? We circumcise the child. The Scripture teaches for the Old Testament saint, name the child on the day of circumcision. So we name the child on that day. The Bible teaches for the Old Testament believer, purification period of time. So we follow that. The Bible teaches a presentation to the Lord according to the Scripture. We follow that. Can I say this to you? Christian life is this simple. It's a life lived in obedience to Scripture. Or it's a life lived doing whatever you think you want to do. You got two choices. Go ahead and do whichever you want. But I will say this. The happy life is a person that grabs a hold of this Christian life is just lived out in simple obedience to Scripture. Linda Nanga, you have told me before, and I agree 100%, you would like to see these two lovely children spend a couple years in Cameroon. And I know why, because you would like them to experience some of what you experienced as a kid, correct? Look at me in the eyes. If I could do something for everybody in this room, and I mean everybody, I would take you to my farm where I grew up, about 6 a.m. when mom came in to say, get out of bed, and she didn't pray with you. When she said, get out of bed, you know what she meant? And at 6:05, I needed to have my duds on, enough water in my face to wake up, whatever clothes that I needed to put on, and then I had to go out and do something. By the way, you didn't pray about it. You didn't say, I don't like to do this. You didn't see all of that junk that we do. It was just life. You know what it was? You had to milk the cow. You say, did you? What if you didn't want to? Pastor, I'm trying to. Oh, shut up. You just got up and milked the cow. And then you took care of the animals. You fed the chickens. You took care of the pigs. Made sure everybody had water. Made sure everybody had food. And by the way, and then you came in, you cleaned up, and you ate breakfast, and then you ran to the bus, and the bus picked us up, and then we were on a bus from 7 a.m. to 8:20. Can I say this to you? It's just the simple Christian life. A life lived in obedience to Scripture, a life lived according to the Scripture. Don't think, oh, that's so cool, circumcision. Oh, shut up. That was just the normal things believers did. You circumcised the baby at 8 days. You named the baby. There was a time of purification. It was just simply an Old Testament ritual dealt with God alone. And then after that, there was a presentation of the child. You did all that because Scripture told you to do it. Just what you did. By the way, there's been a lot of exciting things happen here. You know, there's one of the things I wish is I could get a camera up here sometimes. Now, if you're sleeping, I don't want to hit you in my camera. But I've said this too many times. There's this handsome guy right here, Clovis. I don't know if he's handsome, but Evite thinks he's handsome. Do you not remember how he looked when he found out his wife was pregnant? Do you not remember the day that baby was? This guy here had a smile this wide. I mean, you say why. By the way, we've had exciting things this year. We've had other babies born. Ezra, do you not have a little one? What's his name?
you're trying to remember your son's name. Everybody else said your son's name. What's wrong with you? I'm the one confused. Sorry. I'm getting son and daughter. There's too many of them. You have a daughter. That's right. I'm thinking of Ben. You have one after Ben. Can I say that that's pretty exciting, isn't it? Look at me, friend. We've had good things this year. God's been good to us. Yes, we've had kids graduate from high school. We've had some start the university. We've had vacations. We've had wonderful things. We've had milestones. My goodness, this church in the year 2024, you do realize this church and school has now been here 50 years. Against all odds, 50 years. Can I say this to you? We've also had, we've also had some losses. Can I say this to you? I'm not unaware of the losses too. While some of us are partying, some people are weeping. By the way, every Christian has to both weep and rejoice at the same time. But here's the point of all of this, friend. The way forward is not to start, I've got to have my miracle. I've got to have deliverance. Oh, shut that stuff up. God performs miracles at his sovereign will. And friend, if it happens, wonderful. And if it doesn't, wonderful. And 8 days later, let's get back to living the simple Christian life. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 4, would you please? 6, please. I'm sorry, not 4, 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. When Jesus was asked a question, what is the greatest commandment of all? Wonder what he answered. Where did he get it from? Did he make up something clever? Did he give some new information? No, he just simply quoted the Old Testament. Because God himself, God the Father, had already told us what's central to our life. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Shema Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And verse 5 and or 6, these words, words shall be in thy heart, or that which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Do you all understand it? By the way, the Christian life is not, it's not miracle after miracle and deliverance after deliverance. It's simply this. God saves us. God answers prayer. We experience the greatness and the wonder of God. And along the way, that happens, but most of it is simple. It's, I get up, I have a Bible, the Bible tells me how to live, I follow the Scripture, and I live a life, I have a life lived in obedience to the Scripture. He says these words, by the way, he doesn't give up there. Look what he says in verse 6 again. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7 tells you how to talk to your children and what to talk to your children about. Not your opinion, not your culture, not your stupidity. He says, and these words, and thou shalt teach them, these words that he's just talked about, teach them diligently unto thy children. Shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them, not the children, but the words, for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. The Scripture starts controlling what you do, what you see, how you look at the world. Verse 9, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. I mean, Scripture just saturates your world. The Word of God saturates everything. All right, everyone look at me. I pastor here a long time. I don't know how many years I'll last. I got a buddy that's been in one church 39 years, so I'm a short timer, only 28. But I want to be very clear to you, till the day I die, this church will either be a Bible-oriented church or it won't be a church. We don't need any more worship churches where everybody goes to worship themselves and their emotions. By the way, your Christian life needs to be lived in simple obedience to Scripture. Oh, Mary, what are you going to do? It's 8 days later. What are you looking for? Your next miracle? Mary, it's been 8 weeks, 8 days. Are you looking for your new vacation? Are you looking for your new weekend off? Are you? Oh, my goodness, no. We're going to circumcise our child. Why? Scripture says so. We're going to name our child Jesus. Well, in this case, miraculously, the angel told us to. We're going to go through the purification process. Why, Mary? Well, the scripture says so. We're going to go to Jerusalem to present our child. Why? Because scripture says so. It's just the scripture. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 1, please, verse 2. Psalm 1. By the way, is everybody catching on? Is this deep? Is this deep? I asked you a question. You know, I thought about today preaching a message on reading the Bible. You know what the problem is? To get people to read the Bible today, it seems like I'm speaking Polish. Friend, do you realize there was a day you sang a song by Martin Luther? You know, when Martin Luther wrote that song, Martin Luther was under a death threat. He was excommunicated, and any Catholic king or citizen could kill Martin Luther. Do you understand that? That was a death sentence. He was excommunicated and under threat. Do you also understand, and I'm guessing only one or two or three would even know what I'm talking about, the great threat in Europe weren't the Catholics, it was the Ottoman Turks that were invading the Hungarian dynasty in Venice and had been there in the 1500s and nearly conquered the West. And he's writing about a mighty fortress is our God. My friend, you've got to have some scripture built into your life. It's who we are. It's not deep. You say, but I'm waiting for my next fun. I like fun. I like vacation. I want you to have fun, whatever that means. But I also want you to live your life. Psalm 1, verse 2, but his delight, I'm assuming her delight works too. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Do you know what it means to delight something? Do you ever have something that just delights you? You ever see somebody and you're just delighted? Do you ever, anything that, he says the scripture, and his or her delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, I think. Is that what it says? Day and night? So you go to sleep thinking about the scripture. You wake up thinking about the scripture. And then it goes on, it says that, oh, by the way, he or she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But pastor, I struggle to read. Do me a favor. Raise your hand. I want every hand raised. How many of you have a phone? Raise your hand. If you have a phone, don't ever say to me, I'm not a good reader. The Bible, in multiple versions, you can hear it. You can listen. By the way, and in Mary's day, take a breath, she didn't read it. She didn't have one to read. Guess where she learned it from? Her local synagogue and going to the temple. They had to learn the Bible and memorize and meditate from what they heard, because I'm sorry you didn't say, well, I would prefer all of the Old Testament, all 66 books in scrolls, please. We believe those 66 books were only found in a handful of places. I mean, can you imagine? It would take a man half a year or something to copy these things? I mean, just the Torah? My friend, it's simple as this. The Christian life, once you get saved, here it is. My sheep, hear my voice. That's where it begins. You hear the word of God in the gospel. And you come to trust Jesus Christ and him alone. He changes what you love. You have a love for him because he had a love for you that preceded that. We love him not because we're special. We love him because he first loved us. His sovereign love was shed abroad in our hearts, and we now love him. Stop the struggling stuff. By the way, that's just conversation for disobedience. Just get back to the Bible. You say, Pastor Warren, which Bible should I read? I'm going to answer that question and move on to point two. Any Bible you read is better than the one you don't read. You got me. Now, I use the King James because I'm old. I don't have a problem. ESV, New American Standard, I don't like the NIV, but if you have to, read that one. If your reading level is really terrible, New Living Translation, read something. And if you can't read, listen. Just have the Word of God bathing you, friend. Look at me. You know what Mary did? Can you imagine? She heard an angel. By the way, she probably thought she was delusional. What? I'm going to have a baby? That doesn't work that way. Then she finds out she's pregnant. And then she finds out her relative, Elizabeth's pregnant. The one that was sterile, said twice in the New Testament. And then she's pregnant, and then it's time to deliver, and it's the Messiah, and the everything is exciting. And what does she do 8 days later? She lives her life in obedience to Scripture. Let's get back to the Bible. It's just that simple. Number two, look back in your Bibles, please. Luke chapter 2, verse 22. It says, and when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him. By the way, all these pronouns we'll chase down in a minute. But it was her purification. They, mom and dad, brought him to Jerusalem. For what purpose? To present him to what? To what? As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth a womb shall be called holy to whom? I would tell you this, 12 years later, this is what you have. You have a life lived in obedience to Scripture, simple obedience. And number two, you have a life lived to the Lord. My friend, your life, the moment you get saved, is a relationship with God. That's all that matters. My sheep hear my voice. Jesus says, I know them, and they follow me. It's a personal thing. It is a life lived in obedience to Scripture. It is a life lived to the Lord. If you would hold your hand here and look at 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. I actually want to get this done as soon as I can. You say, why? I would like you to grasp this without me fleshing this out all over the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4. Friend, we're going to read that verse. If you find it, look at me. Robert, 30 years marriage. Is that right? Congratulations. Ed, 28. Emmy, is he correct? Okay, just check it. Can you remember when you were dating? I can. Nancy, I don't need any comments from you this morning, just so we know. When I dated, who did you date for? You wanted to try to attract this young lady. Well, you know, you're not that important or sophisticated or interesting, so that isn't going to work. So you say, I can remember going on dates with my then. Well, we liked each other, then she hated me for a while, and then she was okay with me, and then we got married. That's kind of how it worked, and then she hated me. No. Anyhow, I can remember going out for the day that I proposed to her. No, I actually proposed to her 2 weeks after I met her, but that's another story. We're not going to go back there. I remember going to a restaurant. Jenny, do you remember the name of that place? Cervantes. Boy, you really have to be a deep old ager to be around here to remember that place. It was where Fountain Square is now. It used to be steaks and stuff. I went to Cervantes, and I still remember I had bought the rings in the Navy, and I thought, where do I put them? Because I had them in a box. Where do you put them? So I put them in my sock. The box. The ring's in the box. Don't get nervous. But before I did all that, folks, listen, we're going on a special date. Would you believe I took a shower? Why? For her. I didn't only took a shower. I shaved. Why? For her. I put deodorant on. Why? For her. I even had cologne. And by the way, I am aging myself horribly. I put on extra brute cologne. You say, what does brute cologne smell like? It's kind of a mixture between motor oil and medicine. It was all I could afford, and I think we thought it smelled okay. I smell it today, I almost die. But I got fixed up. You say, why? Say it. Why? By the way, do you know what the Christian life is? Get over all this silly stuff. If you're truly a believer, the Christian life is about him. That's it. Look at the text, 1 Thessalonians 2. I think we get real confused and we make this complex. Paul says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Friend, to come back to that simple Christian life, what do you do 8 days later, 12 years later? Here, look at me, friend. Here it is. Number one, it's a life lived in obedience to Scripture. Number two, it's a life lived to him. He loved me. I love him. His love sent his son to die for me. I trusted him. He saved me by his amazing sovereign grace. And guess what? I now love him. And it never gets more complex. I said it. I'll say it again. Last week, week before, before Christmas, got the privilege on Wednesday to go see my mother. This is not philosophical or deep. When I talked to my sisters, Rita and Shirley, I said, I think Mom will want to do this. Well, Shirley goes talk to Mom. My mom says, this is what happened. On Wednesday night, we went to Applebee's, look at me, because my mom wanted to be with a family, dad's side. Thursday, Mom said, I want to go to that Amish place. By the way, we had just driven four and a half hours down there. Then we have to go out to my sister's, and then we have to come in a half an hour, and then it's an hour and a half to the Amish place, and then it's an hour and a half back to Springfield, and a half an hour back. Frankly, I like the Amish place. It's wonderful. It's spectacular. I didn't want to go, but I'm sorry, I went there for... Can I say this to you? I think we're making this all real complex. Here's the Christian life. It's a life lived in obedience to Scripture. It's a life lived to the Lord. The third concept, and I'll just touch on this and we'll be done. It's a beautiful little concept. Look back at Luke 2:22, please. Look back at Luke 2:22. It's there. It's not the most important part, but it is there. 2:22. And I think this is a piece that some miss. It says, and when the days of her, that's Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they, who's the they? Mary and Joseph, brought him, who's him? Baby Jesus, to Jerusalem, to present him to the Lord and to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. Now, if you, same chapter, chapter 2, verse 41, would you look there, please? 2 verse 41. I don't have time to do context. I just want to show you the third simple truth. 8 days later, or 12 years later, makes no difference. How do you live this life? Well, here it is. This is the beauty. Verse 41. Now, what's the two next words say in the King James? His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. So we're back to the Scripture again. We're back to doing what we do before the Lord, but then we get to 43, and it says, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus, the young man, 12 years old, tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing, rightly so, him to have been in the what? What? The company. Went a day's journey, and they sought him among their, here it is, their kinfolk, their relatives, and their acquaintance, which is the word we get know from, the people they knew. Everybody look at me. Here's the Christian life. Guys, ladies, you want to see a person in trouble? Look at me. You want to see a person that attends this church occasionally in trouble. They violate all three principles. Scripture never has anything to do with their life. Number two, they do what they do for other people to see, not the Lord. And number three, they never get the simple principle. The Christian life, or the Jewish believer's life, is a life lived in obedience to Scripture. It's a life lived to the Lord, and it's a life lived, listen, within a community. Mary didn't say, I'm going to Jerusalem all by my... No, shut up. She's going to Jerusalem with Joseph and the baby, and when they get there, there's going to be a guy named Simeon. There's going to be a lady named Anna. There's going to be many people rejoicing in what they see. When they go to the Passover, they don't do it alone. They go from their hometown all the way to Jerusalem with Joseph, Mary, Jesus, their relatives, and those people that they knew, their community, and the whole community. We call that a local church. It wouldn't have been a local church then. And they all gather together because the Christian life is lived out in obedience to this. It's lived out to the Lord, and it's lived out within a community. And let me say this, and I'm done. If you don't understand our humor, you haven't yet been part of our community. If you don't understand why I call Nancy my frenemy, because every time I do it, I smile. You wouldn't even understand my humor. You say, why? Christian life is not lived out. Look at me. It's not lived out in isolation. You can't get in your house and isolate and say, No, you got to be with a body of believers. They can be all obviously Christians, but also of different cultures, nationalities. Maybe you have a certain ethnic group that you hang with too. That's wonderful. All of this becomes part of the community as we march toward Zion in obedience to Scripture, to the Lord, within a community. And then you're going there together. You have all the humor, all the inside jokes. When I'm in the Philippines, I cannot call PDD, PDD. You say, why not? Because PDD means pandok, a midget, and doc means who talks. Now, she does talk, but she's not a midget. Why do you call her that, Pastor Warren? Honestly, the moment I say that, it makes me smile and love PDD. I call Noel. I haven't called him Noel in years. I call him Dada. In the last couple of years, I started calling him, you know, because in the Philippines, you call somebody respect Po. So I really respect him, so I call him Po Dada Popo. He's laughing. It doesn't make any sense. It's not about making sense. It's about what? It's a community. Do you understand? Friends, that's who we are. You want to join in? Join in. By the way, don't join in with us. Don't look around. Look at me. Join in with the Lord, the Scripture, and with God's people, and we go there together. That's what we do 8 days later and 12 years later. Are you going to be a bored, boring person your whole life? And the problem is you, nothing else. Father, help us this morning. Simple ideas, profound ideas. There's a real simplicity to just obeying the Scripture. There's a real simplicity to doing what you do to the Lord, for the Lord. Yes, people are involved, but you don't do it for them. You do it for the Lord. There's a real simplicity of a life lived within a community. With the community, in the community, within the community. Make it so in our lives, we ask in Christ's name.